So to all things in the garden, it's been a little while, so it's time to welcome back the radio gardener, Jean Griffin. Good morning, Jean.
Good morning, Tony. I hope you're well and enjoyed your holiday.
It was fine. The usual ups and downs of bits and pieces with that, but it seems a while ago now. And of course, the one glaring difference is, of course, before I went, we were used to some very hot temperatures. Got out to Tenerife, very, very hot temperatures. Got home, completely the opposite. It's getting cold. What's going on? It's not very warm at all.
Come on, it's autumn.
It
we should
true.
Be doing this. I mean, I must admit, it's been a little bit sort of chilly in the mornings, but the sun's been out. I mean, we have had some really, really heavy rainfall. Mm. Really heavy.
Mind you, we needed it.
I know, but while you were away, I mean, it's been coming down in stair rods. And so some of the things in the garden have, in actual fact, been beaten down a little bit. So you need to go out and just make sure that everything hasn't sort of snapped or... And just if you've got any branches that are snapped off, just trim them up and, you know, you should be absolutely fine for the autumn. Don't go mad, but just trim them up.
It all looks a little greener.
Oh, isn't it magic to see it? After all, you know, everybody was moaning, weren't they, in the summer?
Yeah.
My lawn will never come back. And what did I say? Leave it.
The only thing with it, of course, is that being such a warm summer, I hear different stories about how it's affected various different crops from growing through the summer. The long dry summer has made a difference to perhaps, I don't know, the size and quantity of what we're actually going to pull out of the ground.
Yeah, absolutely. It has actually more, I think, the quantity rather than perhaps the quality. I've on my allotment, I've harvested my leeks and they've been absolutely fine. I've harvested potatoes, and for the first year, I've been harvesting my potatoes in the dry. Which is absolutely fantastic, because then all you need to do is to leave them for a while and just clean them up. And the other thing that really has affected me this year on quality and quantity is actually beans. I don't grow runner beans, but I do grow French beans, climbing French beans, and other French beans. And those, the quality has gone down. I have got water on my allotment, but we are metered water.
Yeah.
And therefore, you know, you have to be a little bit careful. I don't water an awful lot, Tony.
No.
Ask me why. Go on.
Go on. I've got to ask you, why don't you water, Jean?
Mainly because if you keep on watering plants that are in the ground, they don't put on a solid root base. They think, oh, well, you know, I've got water coming to me every day. Why should I bother to grow too much? And so the only things that I do water regularly are pots, obviously, because they've got no way of getting any other water. And courgettes. They're the only things that I water on the allotment.
Mm-hmm.
And if you actually put enough humus into there, making good structure of the ground, that will actually hold the moisture in. That's why I always advocate plenty of compost, and I don't mean multi-purpose compost, your own home-made compost, stable manure, even mushroom compost is excellent.
Yeah.
So that sort of thing absorbs the moisture and holds it in the soil so that the plants have got easy access.
It's that old trick, isn't it, of when you're talking about watering, getting your plant, getting your roots to sort of grow
exactly.
down and hold firm. Yeah, no, it seems like a very, very good idea. It's one that we've practiced here, and it seems to be getting results. I mean, you mentioned there about potatoes. We did a little bit of harvesting ourselves the other day, of half a bed of potatoes, and just quite extraordinary what came up. We just weren't expecting it, and got a couple of weeks worth of reds to use. Kind of saves on the food bills, which is quite a thing these days when you've got all this talk about the cost of living.
You know, absolutely, Tony. And, you know, even if you haven't got a large garden or you haven't got space to grow potatoes, you can still grow them in bags. Mm. And if you plant them now, you'll get Christmas potatoes.
Yeah. Well, we've just put some more. We put some more in its place. But the strange thing is, now remember, we had a conversation about a year ago about some of this stuff, talking about planting potato seeds rather than the actual potatoes. Because all we did this time was literally dig some holes and drop in old potatoes, and the result was ridiculously good.
Yeah.
Just couldn't believe how simple it is. So, I mean, it costs next to nothing to actually produce and reproduce potatoes.
Yeah. I mean, that's the potatoes that you've dug up out of your garden, or...
Yeah, I mean, it was just potatoes that we had that we hadn't had a chance to use that were sprouting here, there and everywhere. Yeah. So you just put them back in the ground and, you know, a few months later, you've got a whole bunch more potatoes. Yeah, it's just extraordinary how it works. Nature at its best.
It is actually fantastic. The only thing that I would advocate is that if you're using potatoes, say, from the supermarket, then it's sometimes you risk a virus coming in. And that's why they say you should really buy proper, what they call seed potatoes from, you know, a reputable grower.
Well, we did. That's where we started. We started with those and then we've grown them from there. And then we've had a few excess potatoes, nothing from the supermarket at all. And just drop them back in and say,
there they go. Months.
Yeah. And you know, it's like a never ending cycle. It's just brilliant.
Excellent. Oh, well, you see, you know, reuse, recycle from grow to plate, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Oh, those old ideas are still the best ones, I think,
absolutely,
really.
Absolutely.
So having decided that we've all done our harvest and dealt with the, well, all the hot weather can throw at us, we now look at the autumn and, well, with the rain and seeing the grass grow, we begin to see, again, splashes of autumn colour, don't we?
Oh, we do. And I mean, all the leaves are beginning to turn now on the trees. Absolutely fine. I'm looking out of my front window here at the moment, and I've got loads of salvias, which I enjoy because they really come into their own at this time of the year, although they flower from about June onwards.
Mm-hmm.
But nowadays, there's this lovely rich, I've got red. I've got some pink ones. I've got the wonderful Salvia amistad, which is very, very tall and deep, deep purple, which is quite nice. But I've mixed them up, and I'm just looking at it now, and I've got asters. Now then, you know what asters are, don't you?
Well, you're gonna tell me.
Yeah, well, you know, the daisy-like flower.
Oh, yes. It's
always at this time of the year, purple-looking thing.
Yeah.
It's changed its name.
Oh, really? Why?
Now, oh, blimey. Don't ask me why, right? Are you waiting for this?
Yeah, go on. I am.
Symphotrichum ericoides.
Okay, that's being smart, being able
Wouldn't
to pronounce that.
Wouldn't it be better
that.
Just to call it Aster ericoides?
Yeah, why did they change it? Just out of curiosity.
The botanists do it. Oh. You know, it's just we'll put it into another. I've given up. I'm too old to worry, Tony, about things like that.
Something to do, eh?
Symphotrichum is a little bit more difficult to say, isn't it, than Aster?
Yeah, it's very tricky, actually. I'd struggle with that. But, you know, there are lots of things to do at this time of year, apart from all the flashes of colour that we see in some of our autumn plants and stuff. There are lots of other things to do to prepare the ground for, winter seeding and also for, preparing the ground for when spring comes.
Absolutely. But of course, now is the time to plant your daffodils.
Yep.
So leave the tulips for a little while longer. End of October, beginning of November to plant tulips. Mm-hmm. Double the depth of the bulb is the main. It's a rule of thumb, really, to be quite honest. So some of the little dwarf tulips and dwarf daffodils don't need such a deep, you know, anything that the bigger ones do, but double the depth, and that's absolutely fine. It's a rule of thumb, and it's easy, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. What else should we be doing at this time of year? So it's one of those times when, you know, you start to sort of scrape up leaves and put things aside. I'm guessing it would be a good time to start a compost.
It would be remembering to actually layer your compost. Mm-hmm. So you've got like the last clippings, for instance, on your lawn. Don't just dump them all in there. Layer them in between other things so that you've got air getting into your compost. So you get a breakdown, which is not antibacterial. Sometimes you get a smelly compost, don't you? Mm. And that's because you haven't got enough air in there. So yeah. That's the main thing, you know. Clean it up a little bit. Don't overclean your garden. But the other thing to remember is beware of the hedgehogs, please. And coming up to November and we're having bonfires, just make sure that the poor little watsits are not inside.
Yeah, because they try and keep warm, don't they? And there are not too many of them either. Now, can we just clear one thing up? Because I've seen this before, and I've seen, you know, I saw it earlier this year, February, somebody out there mowing their lawn. How late in the year should you be mowing your lawn, and when should really the last time be before the winter?
I don't think that it's time related, personally. I think you've just got to look at the state of your lawn. And if it's warm and it's still growing, then raise the blades on your lawnmower and don't do it. I'm not a person who actually has absolutely, well, I haven't got lawns anyway.
No, me either.
But, you know, I don't like it absolutely shorn to within an inch of its life, because it's not good for the grass, and you avoid getting in all those nice seedlings of, you know, wildflowers and things like that. So I think be a little less worried about your lawn, I think, is the thing. I have a neighbour who, her neighbour, actually mows the lawn twice a week.
Really?
Absolutely. And he cuts the lawn or the edges with the scissors. Now,
no.
Absolutely. So, I mean, that really is taking it a little bit far, isn't it?
I think so. I have this picture in my head of somebody on their hands and knees with the scissors. I hope they're a reasonable size scissors and not nail scissors, because that would take forever.
They are a little bit bigger than that. But, I mean, even if a daisy appears on the lawn, he shoots out there with his scissors and cuts the flower off.
That's what you might call a bit fanatical.
I think so. But my neighbour who lives next door, she said to him, please don't do my lawn. You know, he said, I'll mow your lawn. No, please don't mow your lawn. So she looks out of the window the other day. He's out there on her lawn picking up the rose petals that have fallen. It's a little bit obsessive, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is, because sometimes that sort of thing, I mean, if you leave it, it's actually good food for the ground, surely.
Exactly, yeah. So there we are. It's people are strange sometimes.
Yeah, they are. But, I mean, there are all sorts of things that go on with people and gardens, and I've never been part of a garden society. I know that you preside over various different groups, but the Southeast in Bloom Awards came up I think a little while ago. Hopefully no one won the award for the best manicured lawn.
I hope not. No, I didn't hear that. I co-presented it. It was we were at Farnham and in Surrey, and Farnham were absolutely superb and gave us the maltings. So we were all in the maltings, and we had about nearly 300 people there. So yeah. It was a real. It's the first time in 4 years, 3 years that we've been able to get together. It was absolutely fantastic. We do need more people from Surrey. If you have my contact names, we do parishes, we do communities, we do it's your neighbourhood. So even if you're a small group, getting together and trying to actually improve your little patch of the area, your street, for instance, let me know and we'll come and talk to you.
Okay, well, that sounds good. I mean, the thing that surprises me, and I know many people have got gardens, and I've never been particularly green-fingered. My wife is. But it never ceases to amaze me, like when we did the Lye garden show in the summer, just how many people are really, really interested in wanting to learn more about how to do the garden properly. It just never ceases to amaze me.
We did a nice question and answer, didn't we, Tony?
We did. We did.
And that's surprising. We'll advertise it more next year, I think. I think so, because, you know, it just brings people together, and that's what it's about. Mental health, you know, talking to people. And there was one gentleman last year that we spoke to that, in actual fact, he said, you know, this is the first time I've spoken to somebody for a fortnight.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
You know, that's what it's about to me.
It is. It is. For anybody that's interested, by the way, the Leica Garden Show next year is the 22nd of July. Put that date in your diary. I'm promising you that I will be there. I know Jean's going to be there. Susie Radio will be there, of course. And, well, hopefully we'll have even more people talking about their gardens. But for now, Jean, I think we're up to date pretty much. I think we're going to be heading on into the winter months when we speak next.
I think we probably are. And then, you know, it'll be Christmas soon. Oh, I shouldn't say
shush,
that word.
Shush.
Shush, shush. Okay, I won't say it. Anyway, love you and leave you.
Thank you.
And it's really nice to talk to you again.
And you. Thank you very much, Jean Griffin.
Okay, bye.